Hi all, this is Day and Ari with Windchill Time. Thanks for tuning in with us again. Ari, what's Windchill Time about?
Oh, well, funny that you ask, Day. Windchill Time is a non-technical, fun podcast about Bitcoin, money, and life for parents and busy working folks who are curious about Bitcoin, blockchains, and crypto assets. Day and myself and our guests talk about these new evolutionary technologies and what they touch in our lives. Because what part of life does money not touch?
It's money not touch. All right, so I worked in my past on wide area networks. A lot of wide area networks.
Yeah.
And what'd you do? What do you do?
Well, it's no. In English, that means an example of that is Nordstrom in New York can talk to Nordstrom in Chicago, can talk to Nordstrom in Seattle on a private, secure internet network, right?
Absolutely.
Yay.
All right. And then who are you, Ari?
Musician, artist, turned management consultant, now currently the chair of the Cascadia Blockchain Council.
Which covers from Portland to Seattle to Vancouver, BC.
Right. We create one collective voice for technology companies, and we create shoulder-to-shoulder conversations with regulators, policymakers, innovators, technologists, investors.
Awesome. So actually in the car right now, again using the voice recorder, the session you're about to hear is with a rookie named Jessica. And we call her a rookie because she is pretty new to Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And so we did an interview with her prior to the conference that happened on September 1st in LA. And then we did a quick wrap-up interview with her after the conference was over.
Yeah, and Jessica and I recently talked about Bitcoin, and then she just started following it a couple months ago. And so with Bitcoin is the conference by Russell Okung, we had the opportunity to bring a rookie. And so that's what Day means by rookie. There were tickets offered to rookies who are new to the space, and the conference was focused and targeting rookies, and Jessica was our rookie. So shall we roll Dom?
Yep. Thanks to Dom at CoinMe for reading of the disclosures disclaimers. You're our bug on the windshield of Windchill Time, so appreciate it. And let's roll Dom. Thanks, Dom.
Thanks, bug.
Hi, y'all. This is Dom from CoinMe, or you might know me from The Blockchain Minute, your daily show for the most important story on the blockchain. None of the statements or opinions expressed in this podcast by the guest or its host is to be taken as financial advice or a solicitation of any kind to participate in a conservative or risky or speculative financial instrument that may or may not require accredited investor status as defined by either the Securities and Exchange Commission of the United States of America or independent thought and rational thinking from the laws of humanity. By listening to this podcast, you acknowledge that the hosts, Ari and Day, and their guests are not financial advisors of any kind, but only humans and not sentient intergalactic alien life forms. All statements made in this podcast by any living or dead or unborn or zombie or robotic entity in the past, present, or future of the space-time continuum of this known universe are purely ironic or coincidental thoughts and opinions. Moments of sarcasm, sadness, education, glee, entertainment, or any other emotion that may be found in this podcast are fully your responsibility and reaction that may or may not be intended for the listener in any way, shape, or form. Mature adult discretion is strongly advised. Thank you for listening.
And thanks again to Dom for reading the disclosures disclaimers. He is our permanent bug on the windshield of Windchill Time. Okay, so this is an insertion into the flow of the main segment here, but there is an event on
Thursday, September 19th. We will be hosting Anthony Entman, CEO of Ikigai, who will be visiting Seattle and be speaking on misconceptions of Bitcoin and crypto assets. And it'll be hosted at CoinMe's office on 5th Avenue. So
there
come
is
on
a
out.
Meetup that is coordinated under the Blockchain Underground. So there you go. And we got a little guest in the backseat here making some noise. Okay, let's do the Satoshi math segment that we usually do. going to open up our Blockfolio app, available on Android and iOS. And the current price of Bitcoin is,
drumroll, $10,397.79 per Bitcoin.
Yeah, so we're going to run a quick Satoshi math on that, dividing the number one representing one U.S. fiat dollar by that same number decimalized into 8 decimal places, and you get how many Satoshis?
So 1 divided by 0.00010397 equals 9,618 Satoshis or sats.
Yep. The benchmark. $1. The benchmark is you get 10,000 Satoshis for $1 when you get $10,000 per Bitcoin.
Right. When the price of Bitcoin is $10,000, the math is 10,000 Satoshis equals $1. So right now, the cost of Bitcoin is $10,397, so that means you get 9,618 Satoshis for every $1.
Less Satoshis.
Yep, that's Satoshi math.
Alright, awesome.
So, since Day is driving right now and his brain isn't completely working a split between not killing us on the road and the recording of the podcast, this segment we're going to go jumping right into the two recordings with Jessica, our rookie that we took to the Bitcoin Is conference. And by rookie, it means someone that's new to this Bitcoin blockchain space. She just learned about it a couple months ago and started learning about it and following the price of Bitcoin. So we brought her.
Stacking sats.
Yeah. And surprisingly, she actually bought some Bitcoin right before the conference. So we were really surprised to hear about that the night before. And then, let's see, what else? Oh, so she's a researcher by trade. She does a lot of her researching in biology world, pharmaceutical world. And so she's a little bit more risk averse than a typical person, but I think most people are risk averse than those in the world of technology. And then her vocabulary is really, really good. And so she adopts this word called hegemony. And
what's so, what's a hegemony? What the heck is a hegemony, Ari?
Sounds like a hegemony of harmony, right?
I don't know, but I think there was one instance where hegemony is used in science fiction, and that's in Dune, I think, which is goes back to, I think, maybe the...
Mid-90s?
Early 90s, I want to say. So what's a hegemony?
All right, so looking it up on Google, hegemony, spelled H-E-G-E-M-O-N-Y, it's a noun. It's a leadership or dominance, especially by one country or social group over others. For example, Germany was united under Prussian hegemony after 1871. An example of hegemony is the student government leadership in a school. The student government has dominance over the rest of the school body. In the United States, the dominant state is known as the hegemon. In the 19th century, hegemony came to denote the social or cultural predominance or ascendancy, predominance by one group within a society or milieu. Later, it could be used to mean a group or a regime which exerts undue influence within a society. Did that make all sense to you, Day?
That was a lot of words.
Yeah, it's not, I felt like I was edumacated or something like that. Yeah, means one group has more power over another at the end of the day, right? Hegemony.
And in the world of money, the US dollar is the world reserve currency. So it has a ton of power over other countries and other governments, other sovereign nations. And the system of money that has been created around the dollar by the United States has been used to put economic sanctions on other countries when we don't agree with them.
Yep, it's a form of power. Money is power.
And that's partly the issue that Bitcoin solves.
Right, by creating a decentralized network, money that is...
non-sovereign.
Yep, non-sovereign, there's no CEO, no headquarters, and also it's driven by math, right? And it's also a deflationary currency because there's a limited supply and it's backed by just pure math.
I think they like to say actually it's disinflationary.
Disinflationary?
Because there's fewer Bitcoin over time that's released into the system than a constant supply that's constantly reissued.
Right.
And it is limited.
Yes.
It's not going to be infinite supply that's going to be printed, like that which can be done with paper money.
Right.
So it's similar to gold in that people have to work really hard to mine it, refine it, and then keep it in safe places so it doesn't get stolen.
But unlike gold, we know exactly how much supply is there is.
Exactly.
Gold, we don't know the total supply of gold is.
Right. We should put the video for the Reid Hoffman produced video for Satoshi versus Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah.
That was on
that was on
YouTube. Yeah, we'll put that in the show notes.
That was awesome.
That was a really, really nicely well done video. Done in the form of a debate, but also in the form of a music video.
Yeah.
And it magically, I'll just say, it captured all the characteristics of Bitcoin versus paper money.
Yeah. Thanks, Reid Hoffman.
Come back to Seattle. We saw you at lunchtime at the Tech Alliance a few years ago.
Yeah, that was really awesome. All right, well, anyway, let's roll into the main segment. The first segment that you'll hear is Jessica, who's the newbie to, or aka the rookie, to the Bitcoin Is conference, and what she thinks might be happening and her thoughts around Bitcoin and blockchain in this conference. And then right after the conference, we go off to the side and we record her first initial reactions to what she had just seen, learned, and experienced. And you know what would be really interesting, Dave? If we go back, say, maybe like a week or a month later, and we talk to Jessica and be like, all right, so now it's been some time and you've had some time to do your research thing.
Do your own homework.
Yeah.
D-Y-O-R.
Yeah. So she will have done had time to do the research, the homework, the thinking, talking to other people about it. I'd love to get her like reactions, you know, like a month later.
Yeah. I'm down for that.
All right.
Okay. Well,
enjoy.
Thanks, y'all, for listening. And be nice to each other out there, y'all.
Together we rise.
Rate, review, subscribe. You were supposed to say that. Say it.
Appreciate ratings, comments.
Rate, review, subscribe. Just say rate, review, subscribe.
Thanks for listening. Appreciate ratings, reviews, and subscriptions. I know it's going to take a couple seconds, but if you could just do that to help us out, we would really, really, really appreciate it.
Rate, review, subscribe.
Thank you. Together we rise.
Bye, all.
All right. So, let's see. We're on our way to drop off some stuff at the hotel, and then we're going to be going to the Bitcoin Is conference by Russell Kung.
Mm-hmm.
And I have my friend Jessica with me.
Known Ari since 1997.
1997.
Young freshman at Cornell.
So how about we give everybody like a background on you. So like, who are you, Jessica? What's your background?
Okay, well, born in Canada, but mostly grew up in Seattle. And from then, met Ari at Cornell and was a biology major. And after college, then I worked in clinical research at NYU for a couple years.
Oh, yeah.
I know, right?
Oh, wow.
Lived in New York City. And then I did a master's in public health at Emory. So then I was in Atlanta for a couple years.
Right.
And then I came out to LA after that, and I was working, I've been working basically in evidence-based medicine research since then, and I now work for Kaiser, so.
So with that background, you're really analytical, you're good at research and thinking things through.
Yes, yes, more of a science nerd, but not like, I like researching and analysis, yes, but not not like basic science. I don't wear a lab coat. I don't deal with like molecules or anything like that.
Okay.
Right.
But you also like fashion because you're in LA.
I do like fashion. You know, I still like to keep up on what's going on pop culture-wise and, you know, actual relevant news.
Right, right. So pop culture-wise and relevant news, is Bitcoin part of that?
So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we've been hearing about Bitcoin for a while now, you know, and we've certainly heard about when it was really up, and then it kind of crashed, and certainly just from talking to you guys, I think it's also been sort of more on my mind, and so in recent, just in the past, whatever, a couple months, because I sold some property, so I had some money, so I have just become a very recent investor in Bitcoin.
You're now a Bitcoin holder.
I am a Bitcoin holder.
Author.
Yeah, so I'm still trying to understand about it. And I think the other part of what got me sort of I guess, into researching it too was when you were running
company. My last company.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was a cryptocurrency company. And then I was like, what is Ari doing? And I ended up, like, you know, going down this wormhole trying to figure out what blockchain was and all this stuff. And it's still a little bit behind a curtain for me, I think. Mm-hmm. So I think just trying to really fully understand it, which is interesting because it's all about transparency, yeah. But it still seems like a black box to me. So I think that's why I'm interested in it, and also because it does seem to be like a digital currency does seem to be the way of the future, but how we get from now to the future is still questionable, and you know, whether as an investor I can tolerate that kind of volatility until then is the other question.
Have you heard that some people argue, you know, back in the early 90s, the wave of the internet was coming in. People were like, what is this web thing? What's this email thing?
Right.
And for those that were early, people were like, I can kind of see it. Do you think Bitcoin and blockchain is sort of like that too, today in 2019?
I think there's some similarities and then some differences, right? Because the internet also came out of the government, right?
That's right.
So that came out of the DOD. So I think so you had reason for suspicion because of that, but then also maybe more confidence in a way because of that. But I think also, you know, with Bitcoin, because it's supposed to be, I don't know, kind of the platform with using blockchain is almost, I don't know if it's democratic, more democratic or socialist, really. And
libertarian.
Yeah, or what, you know, it's, yeah, but it's supposed to sort of, you know, be able to block out, I guess, all those kind of levers of power and influence in a way.
Right.
So I don't know. It's like, maybe is that really better, or is that going to make it harder for people to trust, or is it going to make it easier for people to trust, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I think the, what people say is, Bitcoin has no CEO, there's no HQ, it's completely decentralized.
Right.
You know, China tried to shut it down, and they didn't really shut it down, right?
Yeah.
That's the example that's given. Whereas, like, on the U.S. dollar, which is already 90% digital, in case people don't realize that.
Right.
You know, these banks aren't sitting with all this cash and coins in their back, right?
Right.
I think it's, like, U.S. dollar is the strongest currency in the world, but it's also the currency that's used for most of the money laundering, for instance.
Right.
What else? Day's driving.
Yeah. Well, and I mean,
U.S. dollar.
It's also like the Fed is pretty much controlled.
Oh, yeah. $14 trillion printed this year. So it's, you know, the whole idea of inflation.
Right.
Bitcoin is the only deflationary currency
out
there. So, you know, there's a limited supply.
Right.
So let's get a little background as far as what generation do you self-identify as belonging to?
I feel like this is actually a conversation I have a lot with my friends, because, you know, we're kind of called the sandwich generation.
Sandwich generation.
Yeah, or Xennials, I've heard.
Yep.
Yes, and because I definitely don't feel like we definitely don't identify with millennials. Even though by some rubrics we might be considered millennials,
yeah.
But I don't think that we, at least personally, don't feel like we identify with that generation at all.
Definitely don't.
but you know, a lot of times it does feel like we're kind of like forgotten, like this little like slice of people that's.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think we're unique because we've really seen the whole computer age from its beginning to where we are now.
Right. You know,
and we're like the only ones that have really witnessed the whole thing. And really just adopted all the technology as it's come. So
we remember the rotary phone.
Yeah, we were.
When the first mobile phones came out.
Yes,
or
like the first computers, the first games. You know, joysticks,
Genesis,
Atari,
yes.
Like all of that. You know, like playing like layer cake. You know.
And then, as far as investments are concerned, have you ever invested in gold in any way, shape, or form?
I don't think I've ever invested in gold.
Really?
Well, I don't think I have stock in gold, unless I have some I mean, through the financial advisor, you know, because they invest in like some funds. So yeah. Unless the funds invest in the gold, so I might. But I've never personally been like, oh, I'm gonna buy gold.
I was really big into gold actually.
Really?
2006 through 2012. I was all into gold and gold miners, actually.
Oh.
I wish I had done, like, Bitcoin.
Yeah, I didn't even...
Interesting.
Yeah. So, I think, yeah, I've always just kind of had stocks, like, in companies, so...
So, what's your perceptions on what kind of folks or what kind of businesses use Bitcoin and crypto and blockchain at the moment?
You know, I don't really know. I mean, I'm still really new to this.
That's a valid answer, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, like I said, I've read, you know, kind of editorials or, you know, sort of media articles saying, oh, Bitcoin is, you know, whatever, that it's funds like black market stuff because it's not regulated and it's not subject to the same kind of regulation as other established currencies. But, you know, I don't really know. So, I think that with Bitcoin, it's like I've, you know, just hear about it. I felt like there was a time earlier when there were more places that were taking Bitcoin. And then because of the sort of, like, crash that happened, that sort of went away.
People got spooked.
Yeah. So I felt like there was a moment, I don't remember how many years ago it was now, where, like, it seemed like it was really, like...
Oh, really?
I don't know, because I just remember, I felt like I was hearing, like, there were more places that were, like, yeah, we'll, like, even cafes, even just, like, little, like, kind of small businesses like that, that were actually taking Bitcoin, but then because of, I guess, all the volatility, then it kind of, maybe, yeah, it spooked a lot of companies, but it seems like there's a lot more platforms now to make those kind of payments, so,
getting better and better.
Yeah, so it seems like I hear more about the platforms, but I don't know exactly which businesses are using it.
Oh, wait. So you recently bought Bitcoin. What did you use? How did you do that?
Oh, I used Robinhood.
You used Robinhood?
Yes.
Oh, nice. Good job.
Yeah.
How did you enjoy or not enjoy the onboarding experience with Robinhood?
It's pretty easy. Yeah, I mean, the only thing... that I would find annoying, especially with buying Bitcoin, was that when you're transferring money into it, you know, you only get like 1,000 available, and at the, you know, like right then, because it takes a while for the money to transfer. And then because of the volatility of Bitcoin, it's like, oh, by the time the money transfers, I'm like, well, no, I don't really want to buy it at this price now. It's like high, you know, it might be like way higher or something. So, yeah. So sometimes I'd be like, oh, I want to buy it now, but then like the money's not already sitting there. So, yeah.
You're a very early adopter, even at this point.
Yeah, you're an early adopter.
The volatility.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the volatility?
I mean, I guess, yeah, my question is kind of like, because I think a lot of, I don't really know, I guess, but some investors, I think, you know, see it more as kind of like, oh, this is a way for me to like, once it like spikes again, I can... You know, it's just a like way to kind of like build capital, and not really as like I'm like going to be a long term holder of Bitcoin, right? So I guess my, you know, and I kind of have asked you guys about this a bit. Is like, well, so what's like, what do you think is like the smartest way forward with like being a Bitcoin investor? It's like, do you wait for, you know, that point when it spikes again after the next halving or whatever, to do you sell some, or do you just keep holding on to it until it's fully mined and it becomes like a real currency? So I don't know.
Well, we could talk about that, but this interview is about you.
Right. Yeah. So I guess, but that is kind of my, you know, now that I have some, I'm like, well, do I just, am I using this as just like an invest, you know, just as like a vehicle for,
alternative investment.
Right, exactly. Or
yeah, you got some skin in the game now.
Yeah. Or it's like, do I,
we're about to go to Russell Okung, former Seahawk. Football
right.
player.
Oh,
conference.
Okay, I didn't even know.
Yeah, former Seahawk. He's like, his claim to fame was he didn't use like a manager or agent for all the negotiations.
Oh, so he self-negotiated.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so people are like, what? So he's sort of like an outlier in different ways.
Well, he's probably smart, so that's good. Well, good for him. I mean, I think some of those managers and agents probably take advantage of, you know, their clientele.
Sure they do.
So.
Yeah, the sharky shark world.
Yeah.
And so Russell Kunk found out about Bitcoin, and then he found out that the community around Bitcoin and blockchain is really, really just like diehard. And so all these followers started following him on Twitter.
Okay.
And so then he's like, "Wow, I gotta share the knowledge. I'm gonna use my platform and my fame,
right,
to get more awareness of Bitcoin out there." And so now he has this conference called Bitcoin Is. There's like different levels of attendees, you know, the diehard cryptos.
Right.
And then there's like newbies.
Right.
And you'd be considered the newbie. Right. So you're going in as the newbie guest.
Yes.
What are your expectations of this conference?
Well, to really just to learn more, obviously have a greater understanding of Bitcoin, blockchain, all of it, sort of like what the future path, I guess, is going to be for Bitcoin, how it's going to kind of get there to like being a real established currency. Mm-hmm. I think that's, I mean, I don't, you know, I'm not versed in like who all the players are in Bitcoin. That's like totally, I mean, I'm completely new to that environment. Like, you guys are my entree into that. So I think that, you know, I'm not like trying to build a bunch of Bitcoin connections, but I think it'll be just interesting to just have a greater understanding of the whole environment and where it's headed and how people are really trying to kind of cultivate the right influence to get it to be more broadly and widely accepted. Yeah.
Dave's driving now. Thank you, Dave, for driving us.
He's our Uber.
Yeah, and also thanks to Russell Kung for having this conference and bringing people in. All right. So we wanted to use Jessica because we have this opportunity of watching the noob on her journey of Bitcoin. So we wanted to catch some thoughts about Jessica before the show or the conference. The conference is 1 to 10 p.m. today, so after 9 hours. Bitcoin Is conference. We'll capture your thoughts afterwards and get the highs and lows and get your feedback.
All right, so that was me and Ari and Jessica in the car on the way to the Bitcoin Is conference, the pre-interview with the rookie Jessica. And so Ari and I decided there needed to be a transition audio clip between the pre-show interview with Jessica and then the post-show interview with Jessica. So now we're going to roll that.
All right, so we've gone through the whole conference and you listened to all of the talks. How are you feeling?
I learned a lot, but it definitely was not what I expected. I guess I expected it to be a little bit more technical. It kind of got there towards the end, but it was really a lot about social justice, which I thought was interesting. And I also, the vibe was different. The audience was different from what I expected, or the people, I should say. It was more diverse, I think, and just more kind of, I guess, hip than I expected. Like, and that might also just be misconception on my part of what kind of the tech world is like, because I don't really live in it. So,
all right. So, like, what did you think the vibe was going to be, and what was it actually?
I think I thought it would be a little bit more nerdy and techy, and it was less that, and definitely more just speaking to, you know, I guess how Bitcoin is gonna revolutionize the world, which, you know, there's definitely a lot of cynicism in me, and so there's still a lot of skepticism about its ability to do that. But I think in terms of recognizing all the problems that we currently have in our society, I think it definitely did speak a lot to that, and whether it can truly alleviate that, I don't know. You know, that's...
So, like, you heard a lot more about social justice than you were expecting.
Right.
So, did you believe it, or what the selling points make sense to you, or...?
I think, like, to some extent, I believe it. And I definitely can see, certainly just... I think that whole argument about the U.S. sort of dollar, U.S. dollar hegemony, and how that negatively impacts developing world, I definitely understand that, and I, you know, that's definitely an issue that I do think Bitcoin would help to resolve. But if it did actually become the currency, I'm sure there would be new issues that would arise from that. You know what I mean? Like, that we can't really foresee now because it's not the paradigm. And so I guess I, you know, I
I see it as a movement, I guess, in the right direction, but then I don't know if it would stay the course or if at some point, like, you know, I just feel like there's always going to be actors that pervert whatever the system is.
Yep. There's always going to be those nefarious actors, people that just want to take advantage of the greed and blah, blah, blah.
Right. So I figure that, you know, there's always, you know, every solution seems like a solution until, like, you know, it's implemented and then you don't, you know, and then there's just new problems, so.
Then we'll see it in real life, right?
Right. So, you know, I understand the optimism. I do think it at least certainly levels the playing field a lot more than the current system.
So do you feel good about the Bitcoin that you recently purchased?
Yes, but now I feel like I have to. Now I feel like I have to go get my keys. So I feel like I need to research the those different sort of wallet options, I guess. So
Yeah. And then would you come to another Bitcoin conference, blockchain conference in the future, or how do you feel about the conference?
I mean, I feel like I need to do more. I mean, I'm a researcher by trade and just, you know, that's just kind of the way I am anyway. So I feel like I want to read more, learn more, and then see. I mean, I've never been a big salesman. So I feel like a lot of this is about, like, spread the word, you know, kind of that sort of thing. And, you know, being also just not religious and, you know, that sort of thing, I think, grabs me in a, I don't know, that always kind of puts me off, I think I say. So, you know, I think if it's about more about educating, then I'm interested in that. But if it's about, like, you know, really, like, go, I don't know, spread this word, like, I don't know if I'm into that as much.
So do you feel like you've met some good resources and people that you can reach out to if you have more questions and stuff?
I think I would definitely reach out to Travis. Like, he seemed really, I think that was another thing. I thought people were really just welcoming and open, and that was nice. Like, you didn't sort of have that energy of, oh, who are you? Oh, you're nobody, you know, that sort of thing, which I think happens a lot in just a lot of spaces. So especially, you know, I live in LA, so that's like a common thing if you're not in the industry, being like the entertainment industry. So I did feel like people were really open to, like, they really want to spread the knowledge too, which I really like, and I'm very receptive to that.
And then what was your favorite talk or favorite talks?
There were quite a few good ones. I like that one, the panel with Jimmy Song and I can't remember the guy from the Human Rights Foundation. I thought that was a really good panel. I thought also just his individual presentation was very good.
Jimmy Song, you
yes.
mean?
Yeah, that was really powerful. I think also the one that, what was her name, Jenny Carlson?
Oh, Jen Carlson. Jill Carlson.
Jill Carlson, about, talking about sort of the origin, about Satoshi Nakamoto and all of that. I thought that was, you know, I didn't know about that. And I just like the way she spoke, you know. So I thought that was also a really good presentation. And, yeah, some of these kind of panels towards the end were sort of fun. I thought it was nice that it was also just really kind of lighthearted and
accessible.
It was definitely catered more to someone like myself, I think. So although there were some, I mean, they kind of got to at the end, you know, explaining a lot of terms, so I think there's a lot of jargon that gets thrown around that was like, if you're not a part of this, like, I was like, I don't know exactly what that means. I mean, some of it you can figure out contextually, but I definitely was like, okay, I don't know all those terms.
Cool. Well, thank you for being our guest, and let's go and enjoy the rest of the evening.
All right, let's party.
Hello, this is Mark Jung-Chun from Federal Way via Manila, Philippines. None of the statements or opinions expressed in this podcast by the guests or its hosts is to be taken as financial or legal or psychological or dietary advice, or a solicitation of any kind to participate in a conservative or risky or speculative financial instrument that may or may not require accredited investor status as defined by either the Security and Exchange Commission or the Commodity Futures Trading Commission of the United States of America or independent thought and rational thinking from the laws of humanity. By listening, you acknowledge that the hosts, Ari and Day, and their guests are not financial advisors or legal scholars or psychologists or dietitians of any kind, but only humans and not sentient intergalactic alien life forms. There shall be no reliance by the listeners to the representations made in this podcast as being factual, fiduciary, or any other big vocabulary word you can think of. All statements made in this podcast by any living or dead or unborn or zombie or robotic entity in the past, present, or future of the space-time continuum of the known universe are purely ironic and coincidental thoughts and opinions. Moments of sarcasm, sadness, education, glee, entertainment, or any other emotion found in this podcast are fully your responsibility and reaction that may or may not be intended for the listener in any way, shape, or form. This podcast contains adult information. Discretion is strongly advised. Thank you for listening.
It's the beauty of the podcast. You don't have to look good for it. You don't have to sound good for it.
Just don't do too many flows, or else I'll have to like
end it. There's no good sound bites. Just gonna have to trash this interview.
Sometime later tonight, in the middle of the night, you're gonna have to record.
What?
You're gonna have to record yourself.
What?
You're gonna have to record yourself doing the transition between the two segments, saying like, oh, here's the end of the first segment. All right, here's the second segment where Jessica is. We've just finished a conference.
Okay.
Ari and Jessica go off into the corner of the bathroom and record her reactions.
Okay.